today. I thought it was one of those moments where you sit there and you look at where the sermons match up with the what's actually happening. And it was just a really neat thing to see because for those of you that are unaware, we had VBS here this last week. You can't really tell it anymore. We've taken down all the decorations, but it was a great week, and we had. There were over 100 different kids that came on different nights to the VBS, which was a really, really neat time for us. We had over 50 different volunteers that came out and helped with that on. And the best number and the most fun number would be that we had 26 kids that either made a first-time decision for Christ or rededicated to Christ. So that was just a really, yes. It was a really great week, and it's it also comes on the heels of we had kids camp 3 weeks ago, and mid-high camp 2 weeks ago, and senior high camp last week, and so it's kind of, if you want, July in our church this year is very much lots of kids and teen programming, and so the sermon today, it's talking about passing on the blessing, which is also kind of, I've equated it to how we pass on our faith to our kids. And our kids are in the service today, so they get to hear about that. There's going to be a very special message from Captain Shield will be later on in the service for those of you that are aware of our VBS style. But for now, let's get into the word for today. We did, when I think back on my parents, and I was lucky enough and privileged enough to have come from a family where both my parents were saved and all four of my grandparents were saved, and they all had a very vibrant faith. And that was what I got to see growing up, was that. And I was thinking back on this when I was preparing, and I was thinking about just like what my parents did in order to pass their faith on to me. And I was thinking about my dad especially, and I was thinking about his devotional habits, and it's one of those things. I am not an early riser. I never have been. I'm hoping I never am, but he was, or is, and so he always got up, and there was this one chair in our living room, and he would go there, and he'd sit there, and it had this, the reason why he sat in that particular chair is it had the best light in the room, and my memory of him is very, I have this picture, and he's in the chair, and there's this like copper craft lamp hanging down over top of his head, and that memory alone is enough for me to almost want to find that old lamp. They don't have it anymore, but just to have that memory, because it very much is my dad's devotional time was associated with that lamp. The other thing that I have is he would sit there with his Bible, and I remember, and his Bible, I don't know if, I think he's moved on to another one, but the one that was my dad's childhood Bible for me, I don't know how you say that, my dad's Bible when I was a kid, had this brown leather cover, and it had this white cross that was kind of embedded in it, and it was just, it was the Bible I saw with him everywhere. And so that, and I just knew that if I woke up, if I was, you know, had a rough night and so woke up that early in the morning, or if I, you know, got hungry or whatever, and if I knew if it was like 6 in the morning that my dad was in that chair and he was reading the Bible and he was praying. And that was just, that made a big impact on me. My mom had the same basic thing. She had a different time in a different place, but her time was at the kitchen table, and she would sit there with her coffee, and she had a woman's devotional Bible, and she would go through that. And it was just, I always knew where my parents' faith was, and I knew that what they had. I think about they had their separate devotions, but they had their couples' devotions at night, and that was when they'd especially pray for us kids. And so that was one of those things, because I remember hearing them pray for me, or hearing them pray for my sisters, or hearing them pray for the business, or hearing them pray. And it was just this constant, you know, God is important, God is important, God is important. Because, I mean, that's how they lived their life. It was this whole, it was everything they had. And I was thinking about just the different prayers that they said for us. There was, I remember in high school, I had, I'd say, depression / low self-esteem, all those wonderful things. And I remember my parents praying for me for that and just how much that meant to me. And I remember when my sister, she kind of walked away from the faith for a while, and I remember them praying for her over and over and over. And praise the Lord, she has come back. And so I'm just really excited about that. But it was this knowing that their prayer life was there all the time. I was thinking about, like I said, I'm multiple generations deep on this one. And so my grandpa, I wanted to highlight him because it was actually mildly, well, I don't know what the term for this is. I was a little nervous when I got this this assignment to preach on this because my mind immediately went to my grandpa. But he's like 92-ish, somewhere in there. And I found out about this about 7 weeks ago or so. And I was just like, I really hope he does not pass. And this is not like, my grandpa was around and now he's not, but he's still alive. So thank you. He's survived this. And so he can be talked about as a present human being. And but his Bible reading life, I think about him, and he was always in the Word. That was, we went to visit him, you know, a couple times a year, and it was always Grandpa reading the Bible and Grandpa sitting there. And I was talking to my mom a couple of months ago about this because we were talking about Bible reading plans and you know, the whole read the Bible through in a year, which I think is a really fun idea. But she was like, you know, Dad, which, you know, she said, Dad's never done that. He always just reads. He's never done through the Bible in a year. I think he's read every, you know, ounce of scripture, but he doesn't do that. And I was like, that's interesting. And to me, that spoke to whenever I do a Bible reading in a year type plan, I start to get into the checklist mentality of I want to read this because that's the one for the day. And I saw this is like, he just had this love for the Bible and he wanted to be in it every day. Didn't matter where he was at or if he hit the whole Bible in a year, or he probably would have read the whole Bible through twice if he actually just did it in order. But he just wanted to be in the Bible. And I just think about that as what kind of an impact that made on me as well. And so there's all these different ways that I see these heritages that are passed on to kids and grandkids that you don't always even realize. And so what the sermon for today, or the scriptural passage, is on three different of the patriarchs and kind of how they passed on the blessing to their descendants. And so we were going to read through those, and then I have a couple little lessons on, or a lesson on each of them. But it says, and this is up here, and then also there's the Bible in front of you or on your phone or in whatever you brought. Anyway, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. And so I look at these three stories. You have Isaac blessing his sons and Jacob blessing his grandsons, and then Joseph essentially just kind of guiding the way for all of his descendants, which ended up being, I don't know, great, 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 great grandsons or somewhere there, somewhere. But anyway, point being, the first one I wanted to talk about was obviously Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau, which for those of you that are familiar with the Genesis and whatnot, this is not generally a story that I would say, you know what, that's a really awesome story. I mean, as far as being God-fearing and God-honoring. I mean, your story is that, you know, first Jacob stole Esau's birthright, which was pretty much his right to get more than his younger brother was supposed to, or older brother was supposed to get, so he got all the money. And then you get to the end of Isaac's life, and Jacob and Rebecca conspire to steal the blessing from Esau, which is, I mean, blessings in those days was a completely different story than we have now. It'd be just kind of a good word you could say about your son that, or son or daughter, that would then, you know, shape how their life went from there on. And so you're looking at this and you're like, this is the story of how Jacob stole a blessing. And you look at Isaac and Esau, you know, goes out hunting and comes back and Jacob has stolen his blessing. He's ready to get the blessing. It's like, well, Dad, what do you have for me? I'm sitting here and I'm your son, and I went and I got this food for you because you asked me to, and I want my blessing. And Isaac's response is, I'm sorry. I already gave the blessing away. I gave my blessing to your brother, but here's what I do have. And he blessed him in a different way, and he gave him what he could. And I was thinking about that and how appropriate that is for us, because we don't always feel like we have the blessing that we'd like to give. We'd like to give our kids and grandkids and all these things this idealistic, I've been here and here in this faith and saying I am the prayer warrior and the model that you should be following and all these things. And we don't always have that. I think about the history that each of us carries with us throughout our lives, and it's like, well, we might desire to give the faith to our kids, but we're sitting here just, we went through this and this and this. I was thinking about my grandpa that I mentioned that is in love with God's word, and whenever you talk to him, he is pretty set on the fact that he was an awful human being when he was a young man. I asked my mom this because he's always talking about how bad he was, and I honestly don't understand it because he's the sweetest old man in the world, and so I don't understand it. And so she said, well, you know, he partied when he was a kid. And I'm like, I don't know what that looks like, but I guess he partied. And then does anyone here know what a dance band is? I don't know what a dance band is, but apparently it's something bad and something that he was in. And so that was something that he did as a young man. He was in this dance band. And he also always talks about how, oh, he was a hellion, and he lit some pastures on fire. So apparently, thankfully, it's pastures, not pastors, but I'm chink. But anyway, So he has this past, but in spite of that, he has given what he can to his kids and his grandkids and the descendants. I mean, it was really neat for me. I was able to have him at my ordination this summer, and it was just, I really enjoyed that because it was just a moment to be like, you know what, Grandpa, you know, this is part of your heritage. I believe all of his kids are following Christ at this point, and he has a bunch of ministers and different people in his descendants that I don't think that if he would have looked at himself in his, you know, mid-20s, he would have ever thought that his life would have gone that way. And so, but he gave what he could, and this is kind of how God has blessed that. And so that was kind of the lesson that I'd like to pull from Isaac and Jacob and Esau. The next one we have is Jacob, which this is a kind of a funny story because he's sitting there. Jacob has decided that he's essentially going to adopt Joseph's kids, and they're going to become his kids, which, I'll be honest, I don't completely understand why this was happening. My only thought is that the Levites were going to go become another tribe, and so we needed 12 tribes. It's like, you know what, I need two more, and this will work it out. I don't know what he was thinking, but he wanted to do this, so I'm okay with it. And so he tells Joseph to, you know, bring his kids to him. And so Joseph, being the guy that wants his older son to get the main blessing, once again, we're going to focus on that, he sits there and he brings his older son up to his dad's right hand, and so a younger one over to the left hand. And so, okay, this will be great because now my son, I believe Manasseh, will get the old kid's blessing, and Ephraim will get the young kid's blessing, and so it'll be great. And I might have that backwards, but we're just going to go with it. And so he's all ready for this. Well, then Jacob, which now that you think about him being the younger son, decides, I'm going to do this. And so he crosses his hands so that he can bless the younger one with his good blessing and the older one with his secondary blessing. And once again, it's one of those stories that I don't totally understand why that comes up again. This was kind of a little family infight because Joseph got mad. He was like, "Dad, I want this one to get this blessing and this one to get." It's like, "Nope, I'm doing it this way." And so I kind of have a different lesson that I'd like to pull from this one, and that is this. There's a lot of people that I've been finding out about that are not as lucky as me to have parents and grandparents that are all saved, and every now and again that faith skips a generation, and I've heard of a couple of people that were at VBS this week that their grandparents had brought the kids, and if their kids talked about Jesus at home, that was bad, and they'd get in trouble. And I'm like, how in the world does that work? I don't understand this, but that's what some parents feel like. But their grandparents are still fighting for them to be saved and to find Jesus somehow, whether that's exactly what their mom or dad wants or their kid wants them to think or whatever, but that's what they're going for. And so I was just, as grandparents, I mean, just encouraging you to ignore what your kids want in that case. I know it sounds funny. I mean, obviously, if your kids are following Christ, then you have a little different lesson there. But it's just an encouragement that, you know what? That's one of those times where they always talk about how being a grandparent is so wonderful because you get to do what you want and then send them home all sugared up and whatever. I think it fits the same mold. Do whatever you want, and they can be all Jesused up, and that'll be fine. And so just understanding the importance of Christ for your grandkids, whether or not, I mean, yeah, I'd like to say respect the parents' wishes, but I mean, whether that's praying for that kid just diligently or sharing Christ with them whenever you get a chance. I mean, I'm not sure if anyone in this room even has that situation, but that was something that was kind of on my heart this week when I heard about some families that were at VBS, that it was just like, okay, as much as we want to say, well, it's the parents, the grandparents, and this church, I have to say, has just a fantastic relationship between grandparents and grandchildren. I've seen so much done on their behalf, and grandparents that just are tireless with their grandkids, and I'm just amazed by it. And so, kudos to you guys, but just an encouragement to keep going, and making sure that you can pass that faith down through the two generations versus just focusing on the one and stopping. But and the third area I wanted to talk about was when Joseph, he's, you know, getting ready to pass on, and he tells his descendants, I want you to take my bones back to Canaan when I die. And I was thinking about that, and I thought that was kind of weird as well. I mean, because you're looking at this, and of course the you have the promised land is the promised land, and for a reason, because it's promised. And Abraham goes there, and Joseph ends up in Egypt, and he ends up saving his whole family because he was sold into slavery. He's available there in Egypt to save everybody. And so, in my, you know, human opinion, you sit there and he's like, he could have been like, this could be the new promised land in his mind, because he was, I mean, God, he knows God put him there for a reason, and he knows that God was part of it. He says, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, so that I could save the family. But if he's so good, why shouldn't, or if God did that through him, why shouldn't he just be the new patriarch and the new head of the family, the new person the blessing goes through? But he says, well, you know what? My claim to fame is okay. We're still going to go back to Israel and go out, or back to Canaan. And that's the long-term goal. And so I thought that was just, once again, the lesson I pull from that is just keeping an eye on the future and focused on the end result instead of focusing on what might make you happy. I think about, for instance, I have a tendency to get really into my kids' sporting events, Yeah, that got my kid to put his head up, by the way. I really love watching them play soccer and basketball and football and baseball, and I think I've got all of them. But at the same time, it is that's not the end. That's not what we're really going for. Yeah, that's great to keep doing that, and I'm not planning on pulling my kids out of sports, but the focus is actually on their relationship with Christ. And I think about schooling, and I think about kids, you know, academic progress and making sure they're, you know, have this and this and this, or make sure their social calendar is adequately full. And, you know, all these things that we like to focus on as parents is making sure that our kids are raised in the way we think they should be. And sometimes we get it a little bit out of order and we forget that all those things come to an end, but the lessons we're teaching them in the spiritual world, those keep going. And so we need to focus on them and keep them as a high priority there. So, excuse me, I feel like I got something in my throat all morning. That would be my three very, very, very basic and very simple things. But I wanted to kind of talk about, if you want to say, practical steps, because, well, I'm a practical, concrete person, and I don't really, going out and saying, hey, do better, that doesn't always work out. And so I always laugh about that, because I joke that Jessica is our kid's sports coach, because when I try to help my kids, I'm like, if they're not swinging right, or if they're missing the ball or not, I'm like, try harder. That's what I tell my kids to do. And Jessica says, all right, put your elbow up, put your knee back, put your foot over here, and then all of a sudden they're hitting it. And I'm like, oh, so if you actually give them instructions besides for try harder, that might work out. And so I wanted to give you guys a few instructions beyond just try harder. And so the one would be that the devotions with your kids is just something I'm gonna urge each of us to do, because if our kids don't realize how important God is to us, why would they decide that God is important to them? We are their example, and we are the person that they are looking at. And so we need to show them that the Word of God is important to us, and our prayer life is important to us. I think about just the different times that my dad prayed with me when I was a kid, and it was always, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take, which is incidentally the most pessimistic prayer to give a kid before they go to sleep. And then we'd pray that, and then we'd pray for other things, and we'd say, what do you want to pray about? And it was just this thing where it's like, okay, I'm going to think about praying, and I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to do it, because, I mean, my dad was a busy guy. He was a small business owner, and so he had things to do, but that prayer time was just so important. And then once again, I mentioned the devotional time, and this I'm going to, we'll say, I'll say I'm speaking more to millennials in this situation, for a kid to see one of these being opened and read, I think is a little different than a kid that sees me read on my phone. Because right now I have my Bible app open, but does my kid doesn't see any difference between that and when I'm on Facebook. And so I know I'm bordering on legalism there, but when I'm trying to pass that on to my kids, it's just a different story when they can know that you're in the Bible and you're sitting there. And so that's one thing. And then finally, I just wanted to take a minute to speak to a couple of you that are sitting there saying, well, I have no kids, therefore I have no grandkids, and so I'm sure happy I came today. And so my reaction to that is we have children here. We have, we had 100 kids here in the VBS last week. We have a number of kids that are going to be starting up with Awana this fall. There's a number of kids that are in Sunday school, and there are a number of kids that need to be prayed for. And so that we have some prayer partners between the different Sunday school classes, between the adult Sunday school classes and the younger Sunday school classes. But if you're just sitting there saying, you know what, I'd like to pray for some kids. I would like to start praying for some kids that might need someone to pray for, especially, I mean, if they're not sitting there having multiple family members that are praying for them every day. I would love to get you connected to one of those situations. And I mean, and then the other thing on passing on the blessing, that I've been speaking that primarily in the terms of passing it on in a, you know, genealogically accurate way, but I mean, that you can pass it on to whoever you want. I mean, that's up to you. That's up to praying for your neighbors and your friends and sharing Christ with other people throughout their time. God gives us gifts and abilities that He intends for us to use for His glory, and not just so we can use them for our own. And so, I'd encourage you to find a way to use those gifts, whether that's, you know, helping out with. If you want to sign up for VBS for next year, we have about 10 months, but we'll get you on the list. There's other areas. There's Awana's coming up very soon, and we need some more listeners and people of that variety that would help out, and just leaders of different ways that I would love to get you plugged into our children's ministry in that way. But So to recap, there's plenty of ways to pass on the faith. And if you have any questions about that more directly, you can talk to me. But with that, I'm gonna pray to close the sermon part of the service. I'm gonna invite Pastor Bradley up to give some announcements. But and then shortly thereafter, we will have our children's message. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you very much for this day and this chance to be together. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the faith that you have given us. I pray for each of us as we attempt to pass our faith down to the people that mean most to us, Lord. And I think of those of us that have generations of Christians to look up to. But I also pray for those of us here that would be the Abraham in this scenario, where they are the first generation of believers, and I pray that you would give them a blessing as they attempt to lead their family in the way they should go. Be with us this week as we go about our week, and I pray that you would help us to be salt and light for our world around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.